Let's bow our heads together. Father God, we come together now to open your word. Lord, you have shown us some incredible mysteries. You have come to move in person in our world. As we reflect on what you have done, Lord, we ask that you will be present with us by your Spirit. Draw us closer to you, Lord, that we can stand with wonder to watch and see and celebrate what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went on to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them, about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord. People of God, there is something very profound and beautiful about seeing the world through the eyes of a child. I see it every time I go for a walk with my kids. Everything. The birds singing in the trees, building their nests, feeding their babies. My kids, they wonder at this stuff. It is beautiful. It is mysterious. They are full of questions and wanting to understand all of the whys. But they also know how just to stop and see it, to spend time wondering at the mystery of life that shows up in all of these small things, eggs and earthworms, feathers and leaves and rocks. This kind of wondering is something that most of us have forgotten how to do, but every now and then we are reminded of it. The story of Christmas is a story that features wonder as a proper response to what God is doing. It is what we see clearly in the response of the shepherds. The angels announced that God had sent his Messiah, that they should go and find it, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. They go, and they find it exactly as the angels had told them. And as they gather around this little one, this baby, they wonder. They wonder with the innocence of small children at this mystery unfolding before their eyes. Every year on this day, we as followers of Jesus gather around the manger ourselves to spend some time in wonder. We hear the announcements of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. And then we do our best to join the shepherds in going to see it. Much of the time, though, our wondering may take a different slant. We wonder how this works. If Jesus is God's answer to all the pain, brokenness, emptiness, and sin in the world, many of us want to make sense of that answer. The angels told those shepherds all those years ago, the Messiah is here, the Christ. That's just the Greek word for Messiah, right? The Christ is here. He is, and God is bringing shalom to His people. Shalom, the death of sin, or the defeat of sin and death, the triumph of life. What is empty will be made full. What is broken, fixed. Sickness healed. Mourning turned into dancing. God is doing this great miracle. Come and see. So we come and we wonder. But our grown-up wondering can be a little different. We wonder at the whys and hows. Our wonder is sometimes laced with doubt, with a spirit of discontent that does not like mysteries. If this is God's answer, it is one that gives us more questions. A baby? Born in a stable? How can this be God's plan to accomplish His great miracle? In our wondering, perhaps we turn to the work of those who have come before us as they tried to unravel this great mystery. Certainly, the church over the next several hundred years after Christ was born did spend time trying to figure it all out, trying to spell out God's answer and what it meant. One formulation we have as a church is in the back of our hymnals. I'd like to turn there now. It's the Nicene Creed. So if you can find it on page 814 in your hymnals, we're going to read it together. The Nicene Creed is an attempt by the church to spell out God's answer, to give us the big picture, to formulate the larger understanding of who Jesus was and how He fit into God's plan to redeem the world. So just a little history. As I said, it took a few hundred years for this answer to come together, but it took form at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD and was finally adopted in its present form at Chalcedon in 451. The Nicene Creed. Now, I would like you to read the first and the last section, one about God, one about the Holy Spirit, and I will read the one about Jesus. Okay? So let's begin our reading together. We believe. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through Him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end.
Through the cross.
Amen. Now, the Nicene Creed is the standard statement that all Christian churches rally around. It is one of the clearest set of answers we have in the church as to who God is and how He is moving to renew our world. Of course, when you listen to it, you realize this is only the tip of the iceberg. There are many great mysteries and miracles tied up in these statements. But it is an attempt to answer our wonderings at what God has done. Now, is this kind of wondering bad, right? To come to the side of the manger, to come to see this baby and ask, is this the answer of God and what does it mean? Is that kind of wondering bad? Is it wrong to seek an understanding of God's mysteries? Certainly not. It is very good when we begin to understand what God has done. Learning the historic teachings of the church, wrestlings with the mysteries that the church has been shown, helps us to live and walk with greater maturity. But at a certain level, we should also aspire to the level of wonder that a child expresses. It is a wonder that is filled with faith, a wonder that Mary expressed as she believed the angel and experienced that child growing inside her. She did not understand what all this meant, but she only knew the promises of God. She knew that God had told her that this would be His child, the Messiah. It is the wonder that the shepherds too experienced. They believed the angels, came simply to see what was happening, to be witnesses. And what they found was a simple child born in a manger, a child named Yeshua, Yahweh saves. Yesterday morning on Christmas Eve, I opened the National Post and I read a beautiful article put together by the editorial staff. And I'd like to read a portion of it to you now because it is very worth hearing. It says, at this time of seasonal carols, it is good to remember that the most ancient Christian hymn of all, recorded for us by St. Paul in the book of the Philippians, was not about stars or stables and silent nights, but about what had never been imagined in the entire history of man's religious thought, namely, that God was not God because of His power, but because of His mercy, because of His love. And it reads Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They continue. Every knee does not now bow, nor every tongue now confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But what is remarkable, they say, is that before Jesus, no knee had ever bent, no tongue had ever confessed a God like this. The ancient world was not short of religion. Its pantheon was full of gods. There were major gods and minor gods, gods of the natural forces and seasons, gods of war and gods of love, gods of health and of death, gods who fought amongst themselves. What united these diverse deities was that they had power, power more than man. To be divine was to have power. To lose that power was, like Prometheus, to be punished, to become a lesser god, or worse, to be reduced to mere human status. In contrast, those who had great power in the ancient world, the Pharaoh of Egypt, the Caesar of Rome, styled themselves precisely as divinities, escaping the limits of humanity to become gods. The first pages of the Torah indicate that this was the original temptation, for the serpent says at the beginning, "You will be like God." Into this world, the Philippians hymn proposes a God who does not grasp at his power like other gods of human imagination, but will set it aside, sacrificing himself for the creation that he loves and for the souls that he will save. The great good news which Christians propose to the world at Christmas is that at the heart of all reality, of the eternal, of the infinite, is not the grasping after power, but rather the sacrifice of power for the sake of the weak. The world speaks of power, but Christmas speaks of love. It speaks of mercy. What is remarkable is that before Jesus, no knee had ever bent, no tongue had ever confessed a God like this, a God of love. Well said. The Almighty God that we see, this baby, this God who came to be born in a feed trough and to die on a cross, is a reason for wonder, isn't it? As we gather today, may we rediscover the simple wonder of a child exploring the mysteries of life. After all, after 2,000 years, after chasing the whys of God's answer, there is still so much mystery in how God is doing this work. What did Jesus accomplish at the cross? If you listen to your theologians today, they're still trying to wrap their heads around all the different angles of what God has done to try and see the larger picture of the mystery, even of what happened in that one act at the cross. This is bigger than we can understand. How does the Holy Spirit do His work? And of course, God has not rolled out His plan in any sort of detail for us as to how He will make His new creation. Sometimes these mysteries and unanswered questions can frustrate us. In this day and age, we do want to know. And it might be frustrating to us that God does not simply just show us some things. And it is okay to have these feelings, to have these questions, and to talk to them about God. To wonder and to search for answers is okay. But perhaps the sermon preached to us by our children as they explore is also one we need to hear from time to time. It is the simple faith involved in wonder, wondering at the mysteries God is showing us. After all, it is this simple faith that we see in Mary and Joseph and the shepherds as they heard the angel's announcement, and they came without understanding, but with wonder at what God was doing. Because the truth is that God has spoken to us too. The Bible records many of the mysteries God showed to His people over the years. The child in the manger is just one of those mysteries. If we believe in what God has spoken through His messengers, through His angels, prophets, poets, historians, then we too can come to the manger in a spirit of wonder to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Let's hear that message again from the angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Over the course of our Advent season, we have reflected together on Jesus as God's answer to our deepest longings, to our true wants, to our weariness, to our worrying and our wavering. In Jesus, we see God's outstretched hand inviting us to walk with Him, to dance with Him in a dance that will change us into new creations full of life. The Jewish word describing that life is shalom. And ultimately, we know that this is God's goal, the defeat of sin and death, of decay, all that harms and hurts and destroys, and the triumph of shalom, of life. This baby in the manger is God's answer. It is a gift wrapped in mystery. But we know that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. He is God setting aside all His power to become human so that He can lay down His life for those He loves. We may not know all the whys and hows of what God is doing, but we do know that He is God's answer to all of our wanting, to our weariness, our worrying, our wavering. Jesus, our reason, a good reason for wonder. Amen.